This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
As David mentioned, we are here in the beautiful city of Miami today for Aspire with Gary Vaynerchuk and Kevin O'Leary, and the names go on.
A-Rod.
On. Oh, of course, can't forget about the Gold Glove man himself. A-Rod is here as well. If you would like to join us, whether it's tonight at our VIP dinner, any of our incredible upcoming cities, I know we'll be in Orange County and LA, New York. Where else do we have? Oh, my goodness. We
talk about the big news.
The big news. We got the one and only collab with Dane Cook. Tickets are going on sale today. That's going to be July 19th at YouTube Theater at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Those go on sale today at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So go on to Ticketmaster and make sure you get your tickets now because they are selling out quickly. But with that said, let's get things rocking and rolling with this Ask Me Anything and BYOQ today. David?
Yeah, you asked the first question.
Beautiful. So we have had one heck of a month this week. We started off with New York Monday and Tuesday, Atlanta on Wednesday, and Atlanta and Boca into Miami yesterday. With all of our travels and all the incredible people we've been with, what is your takeaway of the week?
Yeah. First of all, the idea of the collab came from the BYOQ. So Dane Cook loved the concept of bring your own questions. We'll bring the answers. And we want people to laugh louder and think bigger. And so he loves the idea of bringing, you know, 3,200 people together to ask questions of Dane and I. And be able to collaborate with us to appreciate our differences. So we're trying to unite everyone in the infinite, abundant, unified system that we all belong to instead of this separation that's going on, some sort of false equity and inclusion. The only way we create equity, as you're one in a trillion chance of being here and one in 8 billion that are existing on this earth, the only way to create equity and inclusion is to appreciate our differences. Not to be the exact same for everyone, because you're not the same as everyone. You and everyone else is different. We're unique. We are co-created in the brightest light with the most power. So we are doing the collab on July 19th. Go to Ticketmaster and come and join us. We do have a VIP experience if you want to have a more proximate, intimate experience with Dane and I, Marshall Faulk, Baron Davis, multiple other thought leaders are coming. We have so many special guests. So go ahead, check that out. Now, my takeaway of the week, since we've been everywhere, is one, my friend's mom, the incredible Eric Weir's mom, gave me the best piece of advice. She's in her 80s, and she said, son, you're either humble. She said, no, son, there's only two types of people. There's humble people, and those that are about to be. And I think that is an extraordinary lesson for all of us to learn. You're either humble or you're about to be. And have an open mind, an open heart, and open hands. And you will learn the lessons to live your life in the greatest pursuit of your own potential. Anyway, Nick of WOM, the well-oiled machine, WOM, the nick of time. Who's up first?
All right. We are going to get this thing rocking and rolling here. We're going to take the first question from Clubhouse, and I will go ahead and pass the mic over to the one and only Marissa. Marissa, happy Friday. It's great to see you here. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask David your question.
Hey, can you guys hear me all right? I'm just going up in an elevator right now. Okay, here we go. Hi, how are you?
We're good.
Good. Yeah, my question for you is, in everything that you're doing, what is the greatest lesson that you've learned this week at one of your dinners from like someone that's done one of the fireside chats?
You know, I write them all down. Beyond the humility quote, there's a great lesson that's applicable to so many things that we're doing. And it's, you are always advertising your beliefs. You are always advertising your beliefs was an extraordinary lesson for me. So it's not what you say, it's what they hear, but you're advertising your beliefs by the way you respond and react. And, you know, some people attack and they're insecure and project instead of trying to appreciate and ask for help and say, hey, you know, I don't understand this situation. Can you help me? Or do you know anyone that can help me? Instead, they start yelling at you and attacking you and talking behind your back instead of appreciating their lack of understanding. And so it's illustrative of your beliefs that you're advertising them by your actions, by what you do, what you say, what you think, what you feel, and what you believed are always advertised. All right. Very good, Maris. Thank you so, so much. Who's up next?
All righty. We have the one and only Hatul who is up next. So Hatul, it's great to see you here. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Thank you, Nick. Always a pleasure to be here. My question today is around turning decades into days and role models. And Dave, something that I've learned from you is that look for people that paid the dummy tax, and you kind of wholeheartedly, magnanimously say you've paid so much dummy tax, as in you have, so we don't need to. So just around the importance of looking for other people's dummy tax and picking role models at the right point for people who've paid the dummy tax.
And the question is?
Let's say I've got a few role models at the moment in areas, and should we change those kind of to suit where we are in life or what we're trying to achieve, and how should we choose? I know you tell us to pick people in the situations who are in the situations that we're in. So just around choosing our role models and the people that we aspire.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, one of the things to think about are the three capacities that you're looking for. And in those capacities or capabilities are the mentors that you were talking about. People, Scotty Scheffler is released, by the way, already. So anyway, breaking news in the sports world. He will be teeing off at 10. More importantly, though, there are mentors, people who sit in a situation that you want to be there in, and they get you there faster by learning from the dummy tax, so you don't have to pay for their dummy tax. You'll still pay for yours, but it'll be an advanced system that you're in. Two, you're looking for people that coach you, that will bring the best out of you. And then three, people that can teach you, that actually can explain what the heck David Meltzer means or explain what other people mean, and can give you the, but also explain it and have time to go deep in that explanation. And when you're picking these people for their capabilities of mentorship, teaching, and coaching, one of the things that you want to do is understand the subject matter, expertise, or topic that you want them to coach you, mentor you, and teach you on. You know, the old saying that you are the aggregate of the five people that you surround yourself most with is true, but they forgot to tell you, surround yourself with the five people, the aggregate, by subject matter, topic, or an expertise, utilizing the capabilities of mentorship, coaching, or teaching. And so some teams you want to be the point guard on. You can be just the sixth man on every single team in the aggregate of the five people you spend the most time with at work, at play, at family, whatever it is. And so you need to determine by subject matter, topic, and expertise whether you want a mentor, coach, or a teacher, or a combination thereof, and you want to determine whether you're going to be the point guard or are you going to be the sixth man. And to that end, I think it gets hyper complex unless you understand that we are and easily the who that we surround ourselves with. Meaning, if we know what we want, then we can know who we can help and who can help us. That creates this community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. And that's really what we're looking to do. And we're blessed of the technology. I have an extraordinary group following me around today in the day of the life of Dave Meltzer. And I said, how blessed am I that for, you know, it's going to be 25 years in Friday training. Now, not only do we have every single platform with all these people available, but we get the replays with hundreds of thousands of people. And then on top of it, we get shadowing and staging by another crew following me around, and then they're going to cut it up and amplify it, et cetera. So in the end, what used to and started with two people, five people showing up at my office for lunchtime, a lunch and learn almost 25 years ago, has turned into millions of people that get to learn and listen for what resonates with them and appreciate the differences between our questions and our answers, between the unique individuals that all of us are. Lucky unique individuals, because we're one in a trillion to be here, and we are one in 8 billion when we are here. And so I want to encourage everyone to have the conversations, ask for help, ask questions, and let's appreciate, add value to our differences. All right, Nick of Time, the wombat himself, the well-oiled machine. What's going on? We got a lot of questions too. Bring them more online. We got several questions flowing in too. So keep it rolling, Nick of Time. I think we're maybe at the quarter.
I was going to say, we just are rounding out what is the first quarter here. So I'm going to do a quick reset. And this is, of course, David's Free Friday training, with today's topic being BYOQ. You bring the questions and he brings the answers. If you are joining us live online, please make sure to be putting those questions into the chat. Of course, if you're here live on Clubhouse, use the micro or the hand icon in the lower right hand corner of your screen to request to join the stage. And we will, of course, aim to bring you up. Specifically for Clubhouse, if you are already on stage, please put a notation in the room chat if you do have a question for David, so of course we can prioritize you effectively as well. Now, with that said, I am going to go ahead and pass the mic over to the one and only Ron. Ron, happy Friday. Thank you so much for showing up each and every week. Please feel free to unmute yourself and ask David your question.
Absolutely. Good morning, everybody. Hello there, Coach. How are you, my friend?
I'm amazing. Thank you for coming today. I hope everything's going well.
It is. It is. So a comment and a question about Monday's dinner. You know, I brought my friend Kevin, and he's no stranger to those kind of dinners. You know, he's been through things like that with his career. But, you know, he was sitting next to me when you finally got up to talk. And he leaned over to me and says, "That's not the guy that I expected." And I said, "Well, what did you expect?" And he's like, "Just not as much caring." He was like, he was surprised, I guess, because of what, you know, doing these things all of his life with, you know, successful people, the level of care that you had for everybody else in the room, especially people like me, is beginning their journey with you. And then how, I don't want to say how shocked he was, but when you asked me to speak and everything, how you give everybody a chance to, you know, follow in your footsteps to learn. And so I'm grateful for that. And so he is now going to, I think he's going to join this group and everything on Mondays. And he goes, "I can learn from him still at 60-something years old." He was called me yesterday. He was looking at your, you know, at your social media and stuff. And so you gained a new friend, my friend. My question is, when the panel, that dinner that I went to on Monday was the best one for me, at least, because I learned so much from the panel. I don't know if it's because of you opening up my mind more to listening and understanding and learning, but, or if it's, you know, if it was just a group. But the panels, when they go up and talk, David, do you guys discuss beforehand, okay, maybe hit on this or that? Or are they just talking part? Because some of the answers were just incredible that everybody spoke about. I even got a chance to sit with Tulsi for a few minutes and just talk and everything. And what an honorable person. And so that's my question. It was just like, it was different for me. I don't know if it's because of me, again, your training, or if it was just something that, you know, you organized with the panel.
Yeah, that's a great question. And so, you know, everything evolves. In fact, this was the 1 year anniversary, May 15th or May 16th, Nick, was a 1 year anniversary of VCon, our first VIP dinner.
I think it was the 16th.
So yesterday? All right. So yesterday was a 1 year anniversary, and Nick and I, you know, Gary suggested we had our own stage and podcast studio with Jim Quick and Tom Bilyeu and all these extraordinary people in Indy and a year ago. And he suggested that we curate a room to help facilitate a more intimate, proximate experience to share the differences between some great thought leaders and extraordinary individuals who have the common denominator, which is, believe it or not, I do have a criteria of invitation, not obligation, invitation. People like Ramon, why he's always invited. I want people that must be what they can be. No matter where they are today, they just must be what they can be. So whether you're graduating from law school or you're a 66-year-old person that is a billionaire, I just require you to be someone that must be what you can be. Because if you are, you will know the who. You will know who you can help and who can help you. And I've never met anyone that has a desire that they must be what they can be that doesn't have the who. And so I'm looking for those type of people to share the perspective. And what's nice about it is that doing these for a year, you see how people articulate the same thought with a different opinion. So they have the exact same thoughts. They all have faith, for example, in varying degrees. They may express it in a religious way. They may express it in a spiritual way. They may express it in a philosophical way. They may express it in a scientific or what they call theoretical way. But they all have faith and they all have wisdom. And they all believe in something bigger than them that loves them, protects them, and promotes them. And so when you get like-minded, like-hearted, like-handed people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other, and they know their who, and that they're expressing their differences and articulating the similarities in their differences or the appreciation or value in it, it creates an extraordinary experience. And that's why those rooms are overloaded. That's why, you know, the timing-wise is not right for everyone. There's, you know, extremely active people that are bummed they can't make it. Our friends like Ramon and Glenn and Victor Cruz and Claude Silver and Mike Tannenbaum. A lot of my friends are texting me, oh my God, when's the next one? 29th. And someone asked on community here as well on the registered webinar. They're like, do you do this every Friday? Yes, for almost 25 years. And so we have to, and that's a good example, speak to every level. And Ron, everyone is equal because in that room, we're appreciating the difference of where you are compared to where other people are in their career, where you are compared to other people are in your age, where you are compared to other people, where you are in your family, whatever, or challenges. So that appreciation allows us all to elevate an awareness, a frequency of our neighborhood beyond what anyone else has experienced. It's curated, it's purposeful, it's intentional, the same way you should be as well. And by the way, we always have a charity or a cause tied to every single activity. So meetups, we're doing lunchtime, ask me anything for Aspire today. We have the speakers VIP dinner tonight at Aspire. And it always has a charitable purpose or cause. And we picked and selected and let Ron present not only his amazing app cooking that allows all the Jewish, Italian, Greek, cultural grandmas out there that have amazing cooking skills to actually provide meals to people, but also groceries for grandparents, people that can't afford and can't afford meals or can't get out of the house or can get out of the house. We have amazing charities to support with Ron. All right, enough rambling. It's time to start gambling. Oh, by the way, I was speaking of Scheffler, and he was arrested this morning, and my thoughts go out to the families and friends of the person who was struck and fatally injured, I guess, in the incident, but also to Scotty, who obviously was released immediately. So we'll let that evolve. These unfortunate circumstances always put a damper on extraordinary sporting events like the PGA Championship. Anyway, Wombat, nick of time.
All right. I did this a few weeks ago, and I hate to beat a little bit of a broken record, but Guess who's back? Jeez. Back again. Jimmy's back. Tell a friend. Jimmy, the one and only Jimmy Nelson, my friend. Go ahead and unmute yourself and ask David your question.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Nick. Good to see you a couple weeks ago. Hope you guys are doing well. It's beautiful here in Texas. David, I know with you being on Aspire Tour today with such a fantastic lineup, and just over the past few years going from, you know, COVID where everybody was on Zoom meetings or doing stuff like this, it just seems like there's this huge resurgence in live events. Where do you feel like you get the most value? Because I know some people, they'd rather still stay at home or see something through a screen. What do you think it is about live events that hit differently than what people could just stay at home and maybe learn through a screen or a Zoom meeting or a YouTube video?
Yeah, that's a really great quote. And in that question lies energy and frequency. There is a better connection between individuals when they're in person. The better connection. You can hug someone. You can feel their energy. You can utilize your capacity as, you know, your intelligence, of course, but it's a heightened awareness of intuition and inspiration that occurs when we are together. That is why there is a resurgence, I would say, or an attraction. That's why Dane Cook and I are doing the collab. And we want you, Jimmy, to put your name in the hat to maybe MC the VIP experience for us. And so you call your friend Nick. I think it's a great opportunity for you in person to show your stuff so that not only intellectually, which we can always get on YouTube, on Zoom, on Clubhouse, on community, wherever you're at, but also heighten our intuition and our inspiration by being in person. And those are the three things that people get out of at a heightened level when we are connected in person. And it's biochemical, bioanatomical, it's energetic. We are conduits of energy, over 80% water. So you can imagine if we're in person, how we are responding to the inspiration and intuition as well as the intellect, because in person, it's much easier to interrupt and say, can you clarify that for me? Because Dave Meltzer, I don't understand a goddamn thing that you say. Or maybe somebody else says, hey, I don't understand that. Is this what you mean? And then through the annoying ability to be repetitive, through the ability to be honest, without being hard on yourself, we're capable of the expansion, growth, aggregation, and acceleration that we're looking for, especially in-person events. Go, thank you, Jimmy. Put your name in the ring. Put your hat in the ring. Come visit us again. I'd love to see if I can't facilitate some sort of MC spot for the incredible Jimmy Nelson. Go ahead, Nick.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Jimmy, for joining us. It is always great to see you here. And actually, let's go ahead and take a question from online, and then we'll come back here to Clubhouse. So, David, I'll have you take it away.
Perfect. There's a lot of them here. So thank you, Nick. Quantifying the subjective, i.e. coaching, what is your process for quantifying returns on a coaching for $1,000 a month? What areas would you look at and how to quantify without getting in trouble with FTC compliance issues? For me, determined upon your own timing and risk tolerance and what you do, it's not always possible to do that. Now, I only work within the guys, whether it's free, group, one-on-one or business advisory and invest in a capacity of being a profit center. And so working within the regulations and rules of each of the different subject topics, expertise, careers, jobs, and industries that I deal with in a coaching, mentoring, teaching, advisory role, for me, the simplest and easiest way is to be able, one, to articulate the quantitative value by understanding the quantitative reasons, the quantitative impacts, and being able to quantify the capabilities that I have to infuse credibility and emotional attachment to exceed the $1,000 I would be asking for. And so one of the things is what is your capability of quantifying, but also articulating the quantified reasons, impacts, capabilities, infusing more credibility and emotional attachment, which is subjective, by the way. More importantly, what type of guarantee, quantitative guarantee? See, everything I do is safe for me to do because I only work month to month. I never lock anybody into anything. I only work month to month because I know the minute we come to an agreement or you make a decision to move forward, either for free Friday trainings, into a group setting, into a one-on-one coaching with me or business advisory or investment, no matter what I do, I don't lock you in and it's month to month and I guarantee to be that profit center or you get your money back. Now, it also allows me to say from my own experience, I can't help you. Quantitatively, I can't help you. If you enjoy subjectively, then continue. But I'm just letting you know, I cannot be a profit center for you at this time. Maybe you should come to my free training because I know I can meet that test comparatively to a business advisory or a one-on-one opportunity that I may be able to do. Too many people don't understand quantification and the articulation of quantified value, and they're not comfortable or confident in articulating the reasons, impacts, infusing with their capabilities the credibility that's necessary and the emotional attachment to effectuate being a profit center and be able to guarantee it. And I would suggest in whatever you do, if possible, according to the rules, regulations of the careers, jobs, and industries you're in, if you can, to create those guarantees and to be able to be comfortable and confident. Now, if you can't guarantee something because of the career, job, or industry situation, et cetera, know that after you make a decision or an agreement, time, emotion, and value changes. So make sure you at least have a go, no-go plan that allows people to stop when and gives them permission to stop when time, emotion, and value changes. And you can do that within the context of any industry, career, or job and be able to utilize some sort of management of expectations, knowing that every decision and agreement, whether it's implied, verbal, written, even with consideration, which means payment, immediately is going to have a change in time, value, emotion. And if you haven't set up a constructive structure, a business model that gives people permission to change their mind or to cancel, then you're going to end up with shortages, voids, and obstacles and interference and conflict in your business, especially coaching. All right. Great question, by the way. I appreciate that online. We got so many people here today. We're blessed to be doing this for over 24 years. We'll be coming on 25 years. Over 100,000 people registered today for the webinar. We have, as we know, being followed by the incredible Chad Sandgren's team for A Day in the Life of Dave Meltzer to Spire. And we are super excited to have this amplified everywhere. Time, we are exactly what?
Halftime. Let's rock and roll. We are at halftime, people. So quick reset of the room. Of course, this is David Meltzer's Friday training with BYOQ being the topic today. You guys bring the questions. He will bring the answers. For everybody online, continue to hit all those beautiful questions into the chat. And for everyone live here on Clubhouse, make sure to use that hand icon to request to join the stage. We will, of course, aim to bring you up. Again, whether you're online or whether you're here on Clubhouse, let's make sure to continue to share this incredible opportunity with all your friends, family, colleagues, anybody that you believe would benefit from this incredible conversation. And of course, even furthermore, I know we've mentioned a lot of different dates, whether it's New York City, whether it's the collab with Dane Cook at YouTube Theater, and many, many more. Please make sure to reach out to David to get his upcoming schedule so you can join us in person. All you have to do is email David directly, david@dmeltzer.com. And of course, make sure to join his text community. I know David and I need it more than anybody else because we can barely even keep track of where we're going to be. But joining the text community will, of course, give you the reminders. And that is just 949-298-2905. With that said, we are going to keep it live here on Clubhouse. And we have Mikey in the wings ready to rock and roll. Mike, it's great to see you here. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
What's up, fella? Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So with the launch of the collab of Dane Cook at YouTube Theater, what inspired you to take that next step and create such a unique blend of comedy and mind such an incredible venue like YouTube Theater?
Well, I wish I could take credit. But Dane Cook, who's a friend of mine, wanted to create something different. And I can't tell you how many people want to create something different for our community, according to what we're doing. So He came to me and he said, hey, I got this idea. Why don't we have a conversation? And originally it was called a conversation, Mike. He said, why don't we have a conversation and let the audience participate? And he said, let's get a theater in Las Vegas and, you know, let's go for it. Now, I'm a crawl before I walk, before I run guy. And so I said, you know what? Let's do a smaller venue with about 120 people. Let's charge a higher price ticket. I think it was like $2,500. And let's see how long it takes us to sell out a room of 120 people at that price. Then we know that we're going to have something and set the response feedback and how we can make the changes. And within about 3 days, we had sold out the conversation with David Meltzer and Dane Cook. The funny thing was, maybe it's not so funny, Dane actually roll on of being more philosophical and educational, and I took a role of trying to be funny. Now, one thing was quite apparent. Dane is not only more philosophical than I am and more intelligent than I am, but he's also a lot funnier than I am. So one of the things I learned is let the star shine in the collab. Make sure that Dane is in the light because he's an extraordinary person with extraordinary insights. I always say laugh louder, think bigger. It's, you know, the comedy that's going to shift your mindset when I collab. And so we had pre-sale yesterday. It went incredibly well with Ticketmaster. Live Nation is promoting it. It's not until July 19th. We have a VIP experience for 120 people. So please, if you want a more intimate, proximate experience with Dane and I and all of our extraordinary thought leaders and guests, you know, I already know Marshall Falk and Baron Davis and Hunter Cloudis and a variety of other guys are coming, and women, by the way, to have an intimate experience there at the theater as well. So what inspired me was Dane, and we walked before we crawled before we walked, and now we're walking, and hopefully someday we'll even run. I'm blessed to have a partner in this tour, Dane Cook, a guy who has sold out Madison Square Garden. You got to have someone that can sell the tickets, Mike, and hopefully I can bring a little bit of value to the table with him. But it's an honor to be a part of the collab tour with Dane Cook, and it's one of the biggest things I've ever done. And I will tell you, it's scary. You know, I'm pushing myself in anxiety zone and taking a step back and saying, oh, I'm going to learn from this, and trying to detach my own emotions, you know, not watch the ticket sales, not worry about all the things that come into that ego-based consciousness of mine. So great question. I appreciate it. Everybody, join us at the collab July 19th, Ticketmaster.com. Go ahead. We appreciate seeing you there and an intimate experience with Dane Cook and I. All right, Nick, who's up next online or in semi-person?
Let's do in semi-person, and we'll be taking Max next. Max, thank you for patiently waiting. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask David your question. Thanks so much.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
My question has to do with human traits that we have to focus and give intention to grow so that we can grow both as a person professionally and personally. So what human traits do you think we lack attention in?
Consistency. So 90% of success comes from what you're committed to doing every single day. And so if you understand that 90% of what you are committed to do every single day will give you 90% of your success is determined by what you're committed to do every day, then you will understand the non-negotiable of your life. Only 10% of your success comes from variant behavior. But the committed behavior is impossible without spending the majority of your time in variant behavior. And so these non-negotiables, let me tell you, Max, how I have broken down my day, how little time I spend each day committed to that consistent behavior. The number one personality trait that builds the machine of routine. And what I do is I start with the obvious, which is sleep. So I am committed with a coach to sleep a minimum of 7 hours a day to recover and access information to plateau and grow each and every day, to aggregate, accelerate, and exponentially receive those outcomes. So 7 of my 24 hours that I'm guaranteed every day of my life, except for the last day, I'll be cheated, hopefully seconds, maybe minutes, maybe even hours. But every day I'm guaranteed 24 hours except for that day. I am going to dedicate, commit, without exception, every single day, with no zeroing effect, without dissipation, dissolution, and disappearance, without interference, without that distance of resistance, I am going to sleep 7 hours a day with the best help that I can find to recover and to access information to expand. So now I have 17 hours left in my day, and I dedicate 3 of those 7 hours to committed behavior. So 7 hours of unconscious time and subconscious time. And then of the 17 hours of conscious behavior, I dedicate 3 hours every day, committed 7 days a week, to spend a minimum of an hour a day on my health, a minimum of 30 minutes a day with my wife, a minimum of 30 minutes a day with my son, who's 14, a minimum of 2 minutes a day with each of my daughters, who are 25, 22, and 19. And 1 minute minimum a day with my mom to tell her I'm happy, healthy, love, and appreciate her, because that's all she really cares about is I'm happy, healthy, love, and appreciate her. Then I spend a minimum of 10 minutes a day with other relative people in life. I just have a list and I check them off and say, hey, how's it going? Thinking of you. Anything I can do to be of service? Whatever it is, a minimum of 10 minutes there. Minimum of 10 minutes a day studying time. A minimum of 10 minutes a day on my faith. And these minimums are 7 days a week committed. 3 hours a day, that's it. Knowing that 90% of that activity is going to create an exponentiality of success, and that will be 90% in time in that divine direction. What does that leave? 14 hours of my 24 hours, 14 hours of my 17 hours of awake time. To do whatever I want, to find whoever I want, to do it however I want, to do it now, to study attention and intention, to do, say, think, feel, and believe. Knowing what I do and say exists in the pragmatic world, and what I think, believe, and feel exists in the infinite world. And I use those 14 hours knowing that being provides me all the lessons, all the mistakes, setbacks, failures. It provides me all the variants of enjoyment that inspires me to go with that characteristic of human nature, which is I hate to be consistent. I hate to be disciplined. I don't like to do things every single day and not take a break. I need to go off the grid. No, you don't. You go off the grid for 14 hours a day with variant behavior. But don't go off the grid for those 3 hours of awake time that are committed to the most important things in your life, and the 7 hours of sleep, which is most important in your life for recovery and access. And I promise you, if you understand the exponentiality of life, of physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics, of 90% of your success is what you're committed to doing every single day, but you need the variant behavior, you will make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. All right, we are in the third period since it's hockey playoff season. We're in the third period, Nick. If anyone wants to know why he's nicknamed the WOM, it's WOM. He is a well-oiled machine at 23 years old. This guy is incredibly productive, incredibly accessible, and super gracious. And if you don't know him, reach out to him, nick@dmeltzer.com. He's amazing. Thank you, Nick, a ton.
You are way too kind. I am just sitting here grinning ear to ear and an unbelievably grateful for you to have you as a friend, and more than anything as a mentor as well. So thank you, David. But we are, as we transition into this third period here, of course, we're continuing on with the BYOQ. You keeping in the questions. David's going to bring the answers. Let's keep it live here on Clubhouse, and then we'll go to online and take a question from there. I'll pass the mic over to our two favorite letters in the alphabet. That's, of course, GG. GG, feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Hello, happy Friday. And yeah, Nick is the best. David, I would just want to say, first of all, thank you. I remember I met you 4 years ago, and the progress is But so what I've learned for you from you, and I'm still learning, is we live in an abundant world. And when I look at AI, that's what's going to manifest. And my question is, are we so afraid to look into our human nature, focusing on building communities and helping each other, that we see this as a, because the more I see it, by automatization the process, we can focus on helping more people and do more of the things that matter to push humanity forward, and people are just scared of it. I want to know your opinion on it.
Thank you so much. What a great question. AI is elevated as a concern, an interest, a subject matter topic, and expertise. More people each day are asking. And you have to understand, AI is a technology. So is fire. And so is a hammer. We just have advanced where we don't understand that fire was a technology that was innovated. A hammer was a technology that innovated. And we have a choice with all technologies, fire, hammers, AI. Are we going to use that technology in the pursuit of our potential, or are we going to use it to interfere with it? And that's true with every technology, our normal intelligence, our intuition, our inspiration. Are we going to use it in order to facilitate good behavior? What's good behavior, Gigi? Good behavior is behavior that is aligned with where you want to be or better. It's your divine direction and it's your divine time, not mine. And I ask you, why would you be afraid of something that can assist you and allow you to be so much more productive, accessible, and gracious in alignment with your divine time and divine direction? Why would you be afraid of something that allows you to aggregate, accelerate, and compound exponentially the success, the outcomes, results, the defining moments of your life? What would you not use a hammer to build a house? Why would you be afraid that you're going to use a hammer to knock down the house? Why would you be afraid to use fire to warm your home? Why are you afraid that you're going to use fire to burn down someone else's home? You are blessed to have so much more capability with AI than ever before to give you more time, more productivity, more gratitude. Now, fear is always there. And we will never know what we're really afraid of. And the reason I say that is there is beyond your genetic and energetic inheritance, beyond the infinite past of past lives and future lives and metaphysics and quantum physics. There's so many variables that you're afraid of that you can go on a lifetime journey to figure out, and it'll cost you a fortune in therapy. Not to say you shouldn't seek therapy as an assistant, as a cohort in understanding what? Your reaction to fear. See, your reaction to fear is instant and obvious. And if we utilize time to say, I am always going to react to fear, even if I don't know what I'm afraid of. If it doesn't seem logical, I'm always going to react to fear with a need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, guilty, resentful. I'm always going to react to fear as an interference to my potential. Therefore, why am I spending so much time in the reaction to fear when it's instant and obvious that I'm pissed off? Why not get back to center? I do it all the time, right? I have family members. I have an unwinding routine. And I had someone that's very relative to me call me last night at 11:30 after four straight days. Nick said it's been a long month this week, and just attack me in fear. And I just said, I'm sorry. I'm not going to talk about it. Call me at a reasonable hour and ask me, hey, let me understand why this is going on, and can you help me get better? That's the type of solution, resolve, and resolution that I want in my life and surround myself with. I have learned in my old days, at 11:30 at night, I would have got defensive, attacked back, ruined my sleep, ruined my night, ruined my day. I got a lot of shit to do today. Beyond the 24 years I've been doing this, I have a lot of things to do to be positive in the trajectory, divine direction I want to be in. I'm practicing AI, one of them, identifying my reaction to the fear of AI and reminding, remember, and recollecting, how can I use AI to accelerate, aggregate, and compound exponentially my divine direction and my divine time? It's just like fire. It's just like a hammer. It's the exact same thing, but it's far more powerful in the objectives that I have in my life. It will absolutely exponentially allow me to make more money, help more people, and have more fun. So I know I'm afraid of it in some ways, and I'm just trying to identify my reaction to that fear, minimize it, and then get back into how I can use it to make more money, help more people, and have more fun. Does that sound fair, Maximilian? Oh, Gigi, sorry.
Yeah, thank you. What you said about someone calling you and you're not reacting, putting things into stories, and it's how we learn. So also for that example, and thank you for helping me with this. Something that I'm going to go over it again. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, my Womnick. What's going on, Womnick?
Let's go ahead and take a question online, and then we'll come back here to Clubhouse to round us out with the fourth quarter.
I love it. So this is a good one. I booked this already 200 dates a year. When I showed up at the Hilton yesterday, the guy said to me, holy crap, I haven't had anyone that this many stays already this year. Sometimes I have two stays because I come from the airport so early, I get a room, and then I stay in the room and I go do something, and then I go to a different room for the night, a different place. So it's happened twice this week. But here's the question. How can you stay consistent with those non-negotiables with your team and the machine that you've built when unexpected things happen while you're traveling? Well, first of all, you can't tell me that unexpected things are not happening when you don't travel. Because if you could tell me exactly what's going to happen and you could tell me what you expect is happening all day long, then please call me. I know how to make billions of dollars if you have that type of vision, because I never have. So one of the things that I do, whether I'm traveling or not, is by studying my plan time. So I prioritize my non-negotiable time. So no matter what happens to flights, no matter what happens to my baggage, no matter what happens to my appointments that are planned, I am making sure that I spend a minimum amount of time on my health, a minimum of time with my family, my finance, my faith, my research, all of those things. I am making sure that's first. And so sometimes it means I'm doing stretches and balances, squats, you know, in the back of an Emirates airplane, or walking up and down the stairs, or whatever it may be, in order to make sure I got my minimum of an hour in health. I'm making sure that I'm prepared with the technologies that exist to study the things I need, like my finance, checking all my accounts, all different things. I'm making sure I know where those windows are, and I am holding steady to reschedule anything that's not a non-negotiable and unexpected happen. When you study your calendar, pay attention and give intention to do, say, think, feel, and believe, and you know your non-negotiables of what you're committed to doing every day, and you see where the open spots in your calendar are, those are like parking places at Costco at noon on Saturday. You don't care how much traffic there is. You don't care that everything is going differently. You just pull right up to Costco, go ahead and get your Rogaine, and walk out. It's that. And so what I want you to do is understand that unexpected things happen whether you're traveling or not. Two, studying your calendar and knowing your planned time and unplanned time and your non-negotiables are the key to dealing with unexpected things, because not only does being a student of your calendar and knowing your what and your who allow you to prioritize your day, more importantly, it allows you to reprioritize your day by what's important to you. And you already have predetermined by your timing and risk tolerance, by the day, the external circumstances of those days, that these things are most important to me. Therefore, no matter what, I'm going to reprioritize to make sure I get my family, health, fitness, finance, faith, all the different things that I want done. And if the other things, the variant behavior doesn't get done, so what?
Beautiful. Thank you so much, David. And we actually have a live in-person question now. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to the incredible Mackenzie Sandrigan.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be here with the one and only David Meltzer. I have like a fun and I hope easy question for you. You know, you've been doing this for 25 years now. And I want to know, what's one question that you remember or will always remember from doing these free Friday trainings?
Wow. It might just be that question. I'm kidding. There's so many questions. Let me think of one that changed my perspective. And it was about fear, actually. So, somebody asked me to explain to them what I meant by identifying fear and then stopping, dropping, and rolling. And that created an epiphany for me that changed my life, which I talked about earlier. Is I started to realize it takes too long to identify, and it wasn't exact. Like I would think that, oh, you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of losing my money. But it really wasn't that. I was afraid I was going to be like my father. And I'm not even sure that's right. When somebody asked me, how do I identify fear? I realized how much time I was wasting in identifying something I don't think I'll ever know, that I think that humans aren't capable of knowing. And that led me down the path to the instant and obvious reaction to fear. And out of anything that I've learned, that reaction to fear and the instant obvious reaction to fear has made my life so easy, because it has dissipated, not eliminated, dissipated the dis-easy in my life. Because I had realized, wow, in my brilliance of telling people to identify fear, that I was sustaining fear because I didn't understand what I was afraid of, and I wasn't capable of understanding or knowing what I was afraid of. And therefore, I was spending so much time in dis-ease trying to identify something that I'm not capable of identifying. It would be like me telling you, identifying fear is the same as me saying, hey, can you tell me the biggest rock on the moon? Right? Can you identify the biggest rock on the moon? Well, that's super difficult. And even with, you know, I guess you can't see the backside of the moon, they say. Like, I don't know how you could identify that. And statistically, I think identifying what you're really afraid of is more statistically difficult than identifying the biggest rock on the moon. And so to understand, though, wow, there's a much easier way to be at ease. There's a much easier way to dissipate, dissolve the interference or dis-ease in my life that is interfering with my potential, my truth. And so that question that wasn't intended to give me that epiphany was probably the powerful question that I can remember offhand. There's been so many great ones, but that's one that really changed my life. I'm sure ones that have evolved around time is on the calendar will also have been very helpful for me, because I think student of the calendar for me is one of the most powerful things changing my life. Being aware of how I react to fear, the instant and obvious, you know, anger, frustration, worry, guilt, resentment is also. But if anyone hasn't heard of the student of the calendar or that exercise, email me. It'll change your life, I promise. I will also sign a book, send it to you for shipping in the book along with it if you don't have it. David@dmeltzer.com. And please join me here every Friday. Thank you so much for being shadowing me. All right. Is the Womnick here?
The Womnick is still here.
All right.
We've got time for one last question here. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Khalil. Khalil, thank you so much for patiently waiting. Feel free to unmute yourself on Clubhouse and ask. The microphone icon is the lower right-hand corner of your screen. If you are having any type of difficulty, which it looks like you are, I will go ahead and pass it over to Glenda. Glenda, it's great to see you. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask David your question. Thanks so much for joining us. Oh, we are 2 for 2 on technical difficulties.
Let me take one online.
Take one online here.
That's perfect. What is the difference between an audience community? And I think this is a great subtle difference, determinative upon what you want. A lot of people want an audience. They want to perform. They are not interested in building a community of like-minded, like-hearted people. There's a better opportunity than ever to build an audience. There's so many ways you can build an audience. You can buy audiences. You can, you know, be shocking. You can be controversial. There's a lot of ways to build an audience. And there's lots of ways to monetize an audience, which is beautiful. That's not my objective. An audience is one that wants to be entertained. A community is people of like mind, like hearts, and like hands that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. People of like minds, like hearts, and like hands that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. And from the very start, with my amazing mentor, who I'll get to see today, Gary Chuck, he basically asked me that question. You know, what would you do with your social media brand? What would you do with this? And I'd say build a community. Two people is all I want in the first year. That will get me two people in the community every year, and they'll get me two people, et cetera. And in 20 years, when I turn 70, I will have the biggest community, according to my subject matter, topic, or expertise, probably in the world. Just get two every year to be a part of my community and get two more people to be a part of my community each year. Now, an audience, I could get 20 followers tomorrow. I could get an audience anywhere in any place. You can buy stages. You can do all types of things to get an audience. But building a community to me is building a community of people of like mind, like hearts, and like hands, not entertaining them and not being a performer. You're part of the community engaging that. People in your community that want to help each other, know people that will help each other, will buy from each other and sell for each other. So it's way easier to monetize a community than an audience. Get old and they'll get smart, promise you. Build a community. All right, nick of time. Just in the nick of time, the WOM Nick, well-oiled machine, 9:59 here in the East Coast. That means it's 6:59, turning 10 o'clock. Go ahead, close out the room.
Awesome. Thank you so much, David. And thank you, everybody, both online as well as here on Clubhouse, for joining us for the BYOQ training today. Of course, David will be back on Monday here in club at 3 p.m. Pacific for a little, or 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern for a little bit of Ask Me Anything. And we will be back next Friday, same time, same place, for another training with David. As we've mentioned today, we are in Miami for the Aspire Tour with A-Rod and Kevin O'Leary and Gary Vaynerchuk and many, many more. Next week, we will be in Orange County and L.A., the following week in New York, and of course, all working towards the big announcement, which is, of course, the collab, David Meldine Cook, which is going to be YouTube Theater on Friday, July 19th. Tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Make sure to get over to Ticketmaster.com because they are selling out quickly. I know the pre-sale, we actually broke the pre-sale code yesterday. That's the abundance that we are blessed with, people. So you are not going to want to miss out. If you would like that upcoming schedule, or if you weren't able to get your questions answered today, make sure to reach out to David directly, david@dmeltzer.com. Make sure to send that text community, because I know David and I need it for the reminders on where we're going to be. 949-298-2905. And before we round this out, I'll share a little bit of gratitude for you, David, not only for showing up for this community each and every Friday, but on a little bit of a personal note, tomorrow actually marks 4 years since we embarked on this journey together. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me an opportunity, giving me a chance, and not only continuing to invest in me, of course, everybody else on our team as well. So from the bottom of my heart, you changed my life, and I could not be more grateful for you. And with that said, I will round everything out and pass it over to Arie here on Clubhouse with David's favorite saying, which is, of course, to be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Thanks so much, everybody.
All right, everyone. This is the BYOQ. You bring the question, bring the answers. Please join me around the country. We have 200 different cities that we're in. We will be back next week. We have a SoFi mastermind. We have an Orange County dinner. We have New York City on the 29th. We have, of course, and will continue to promote the collab with Dane Cook. We have free Friday trainings for almost 25 years. I think October is our anniversary, which is a big quarter of a century. That's more than Nick's been alive. I've been doing this. So I want to tell everyone how grateful I am. If you do want the student of the calendar exercise, Dave, dmeltzer.com. If you'd like my book, I'll sign it, send it to you. Pay for shipping and the books. I know we ran out of them, so they're coming back next week. I'm super excited. Not as excited as Justin and Mike that we got our books coming back in. Talk about, there's a smile from him. There he goes. Anyway, I want to thank our producers of the show, Mike and Raluca, for being here. Thank you so much, everyone. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Most importantly, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. We'll see you later.